education, entertainment. It's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
Jerome! Ken!
Did we already have a Jerome? Did we have a caller we called Jerome, did we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we call everybody Jerome, don't we?
Well, listen, folks, if you have if you've gotten lots of emails telling you that you need to update your bank account for a bank account that you don't have,
run out and open it.
Like if you bank with Bank of America, but you're getting something supposedly from U.S. Bank?
Or Wells Fargo, or
right,
whatever it is. It's a phishing scam. Phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Phishing.
Why they call it that, we really don't know.
Actually, we do.
Why do we know?
Well, when you go fishing, you throw the line in the water a million times, and you hope that once or twice you get a bite.
Yep.
Right? You lure somebody in.
Right. You're trying to hook them.
Right.
And just like with fishing, there's something smelly here.
Yep.
All right. And don't be the big dumb fish.
Right.
And bite the hook and take the bait.
Don't take the bait. There's actually an I think the Wall Street Journal did a study on this or a story on it, and they somebody did some research to figure out about 5% of the people getting these emails respond. And if you think about the millions and millions and billions of people that get these things, that's a pretty significant response.
Someone's making money from it.
And the idea, folks, what the idea behind the phishing scam is to get you to think that it is your bank, click on a link that looks like your bank, and submit a bunch of information like your account number, password,
Social Security number,
those
mother's
kinds of
maiden
things.
Name, all the common stuff that you would use to maybe establish credit or identity or stuff that you would use as your common usernames and passwords for banking sites or
you're just assuming
whatever.
The bank already has it. You're just confirming it because that's what they're asking you to do. There's one from Wells Fargo that says, we just want you to review our latest policy changes. So log into your account and go check out the message center.
Right.
And, of course, once you put your username and password in, it takes you to something that looks like a message center, and guess what just happened?
Just gave away some stuff.
So, tip number one on phishing scams. If you think there's just assume they're all smelly. Anything that comes in from it, from PayPal, from eBay, for any of these things, any kind of a link you see in these emails, never, ever, 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 ever,
ever.
Ever.
Ever, ever.
Click on the link in the email.
How often?
Ever.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Never, ever, ever.
You know, actually, the best advice I've seen is actually just, if it's from supposedly Wells Fargo, when you actually bank with Wells Fargo, open up a web browser, type in wellsfargo.com, go through your regular sign-in process like that email never existed,
right,
and go to that message center.
And see if the information in the email matches what...
Even if the link in the email looks like it's at a Wells Fargo site, because it can look that way and not actually be that.
It spoofs.
But if you type it, it will actually be what you type, so you know you're a little bit safer there.
So that's tip number one. Lots and lots of resources for you to protect yourselves in these phishing scams. Now, I got one from PayPal this morning saying that if you are a customer of PayPal and you did business with us at a certain time, there's a big legal thing about a class action lawsuit against PayPal. And I'm thinking right away... phishing scam, you know, because PayPal is one of the most common phishing scams that are out there. And remember, folks, if these malicious people can get you to divulge your username, your account name, and your password, they can act just like you right online.
They can go pay themselves from your account.
They can do anything they want. They can transfer funds if it's a banking system, so on and so forth. So that's why it's so benign, it's so easy, and you have no idea what just happened. It's like throwing away, your tax receipts or your tax return, just put in the garbage can without shredding it. Anybody could come along and pick it up, and you'd have no idea that they had it.
Or it'd be even more like, instead of storing your money in the bank, you just got your check actually cashed, and you set the funds maybe just on your front doorstep, maybe under the mat.
How about right next to an ATM?
It's sort of secure.
Right next to an ATM.
Just set them on the ground in a bag saying, these are mine, please leave them here.
Yeah.
And put your name on it,
please.
And your phone number and your address and your Social Security number.
Right.
And your PIN number.
Please be kind.
And leave your ATM card and say, please don't use this. This is all mine.
Yeah.
The problem is, how do you know what's a legitimate email and what's not? Well, here's the safe approach. None of it's legitimate.
If you pretend none are.
It.
Everything is suspicious. And if it comes in the form of an email, especially if it's coming from a big company and refers to all the things that you'd normally trust, like the federal government or the bank itself or so on and so forth. It's very, very easy to make a web page look like it's an official bank web page. And if you're not very suspicious and look through the thing, you'd have no idea that you just logged on and did these things. And in fact, if you've fallen for something that you think is a phishing scam, even if you're not sure, immediately contact your financial institution and change your access codes so that you can protect yourself.
Definitely.
Good thinking.
Or, yeah.
And then make a complaint to the FTC.
Right, which you can do through all the wonderful resources that Mykal has posted, including...
You know what? This is actually... You've been doing the stuff for the radio show for a really long time, and I wanted to compliment you publicly that this is probably one of the best shows you've put together. You did a very nice job.
Well, thank you very much.
Most bestest?
The most bestest.
Wow.
That was so beautiful! That was so beautiful!
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, whatever.
It's lovely the way the snot kind of runs up as he sniffs.
We'll be abusing you soon, so don't get too comfortable over there.
Yeah. Where are we at here? What are we doing?
We're going to bring Adam on.
Oh!
Our whiz-ager. We're going to...
Adam, you've been gone for a while. I haven't heard from you in three weeks or so.
He's been here. You've been gone.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, there was one of those things.
Like a foot.
He brought us a new term, whiz-ager.
A whiz-ager?
Yep.
Wow, does that have anything to do with, has nothing to do with using the bathroom?
Because he's a whiz kid, and he's a teenager.
He's a whiz kid, he's a teenager now, so
gotcha.
Whiz-ager.
Whiz-ager. Is that an Adamism?
Sure.
All right.
And because we have him call in and do this, it's teen exploitation that we're committing here.
Yes, of course. And the geeks go on. Hey, Adam.
Hey.
You got some news for us?
Yep.
Do we have an Adam's news segment?
Sure we do. There's your official sound file.
I knew I was going to get that eventually.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody gets it, Adam. I am an equal opportunity cow giver.
Okay.
I give lots of bull.
It's very moving. What's in the news this week there, Bubba?
Well, we got a couple Microsoft news stories.
Imagine that. Microsoft in the news.
Who would have guessed? Microsoft finally came out with patches for some browser flaws about the download.ject Trojan horse.
Patches? We don't need no stinking patches.
Oh, you want to get infected?
Adam's not familiar with the movie, I'm sure.
Yeah, he is. He's
what
movie?
Patches.
So the particularly bad vulnerabilities that they discovered were they literally you can visit a website and have something secretly installed in the back of your computer that allows people to here's a new acronym for you, to use a RAT system.
Yeah.
A remote access Trojan.
I can tell he's real impressed by your mad skills there, Ken.
I smell a rat.
So there's some new things to help patch the vulnerabilities so that these Trojans can't take advantage of you, and of course you can get those by doing like your regular Windows updates, right?
Right.
Excellent.
Yep. Now here's an interesting one. The other Microsoft story I've got for you, it's a news source leak about the new Microsoft antivirus software.
The new antivirus software from Microsoft?
Well, they're
yet to come.
They're going to integrate antivirus tools into a service pack and then future operating systems.
Maybe. Pretty much.
According to this, it's not going to come in the service pack 2
right.
for Windows XP, but it will, the product, once it does come out, it will work with Windows XP, and it will work with the new version of Windows that's coming out that's codenamed Longhorn.
What a delay.
There's the Longhorn. See?
There you go.
A delay in Microsoft programming?
Oh, no. Probably not just a delay. Probably they're going to make it a product that you actually would pay in addition for, is my guess.
Change of heart.
Why give it away when you can sell it for...
No. Why sell it when you can give it away for free and create a monopoly?
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the status on that? Do we have any idea when we're going to see some kind of antivirus technology from Microsoft?
No. Actually, Microsoft really refused to comment on this. The leak actually came out of France,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
Adam demanded and Microsoft refused. How dare they?
Well, actually, this is a classic thing that's done in the software business. This is called vaporware.
Yep.
Vaporware is something that really doesn't exist, but they keep talking about it in hopes that you won't go to another company's current product that's available. You're going to wait for
that new version of the Microsoft stuff to come out.
Vaporware. It's been used classically throughout the huge, long 20-year history of the personal computer industry. So let's just chalk that up to vaporware, shall we?
Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, here's an interesting thing on CNetNews.com that I also heard about on Tech TV, that Google is actually a favorite tool among hackers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Google's a favorite tool among anybody on the internet, I'm sure, hackers included.
Yeah, if you type, you should be using Google. But how do the hackers use Google?
Well, hackers, I mean, there are things that you can find on websites that you don't normally think about that Google searches, and it indexes these things on the website, like security files and stuff. You can just search in the site for them, and you can find a bunch of stuff.
Google's so efficient.
Yeah, we don't want to give away any secrets. We don't want to tell them exactly how to do it. But in addition to Google's normal very high level of ability to search a site and extract lots of information, they do something called caching, where they actually make copies of old websites so that if you know, sometimes you'll do a search and you'll click on it to say this site no longer arouses, you know, the information you looking at.
The site's been taken down. Yeah.
Something's happened. You can actually go back to that same search and look for the cached link below the actual website that you're trying to find, and it'll actually have a captured version. They do caching, or they actually a moment in time that you can go back and actually see what that website was when it was up.
They call it the 88 mile per hour DeLorean, Wayback Machine thing.
Oh, what?
Huh? Because you can go back in time
back
and see
into
stuff.
The future. Mm-hmm.
1.21. I got it.
Right. We're Swift today.
Now, Google also had a small problem with performance with this latest version of the MyDoom virus, didn't it?
Yeah, I read about that too.
Yeah, they apparently the part of the payload of the MyDoom worm was to cause zombies to go out and start querying Google, and it basically created a somewhat of a what's called a denial of service attack, in that they got Google's engine so busy doing stuff that really nobody was asking for that the people that were trying to use it couldn't.
Right.
So we'll see.
Luckily, there's not that many Google users, so it probably didn't affect many people.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Google only searches 4.5 billion sites, that's all.
Yeah, something like that.
So a good example of something not to do, and I actually knew somebody who did this before I corrected them. They had their own personal web space through their provider AOL, and they went, and because they wanted to be able to remember all their usernames and passwords for the various sites, they just went and created a little quick page that listed, like, Amazon.com, and then they put their username and their password.
No.
And and PayPal and username and password.
Publish
and
this
eBay.
On their website.
Yeah, in their own personal space, but as long as they didn't tell anybody about it, nobody would know it was there, right?
Right.
And so they published that, and that way, anywhere they were on the planet, they could just log in, and since they were the only ones that knew the address, you know, it was really cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, you better take that down and change those usernames and passwords. And well, why? Because nobody else, I haven't told anybody that that's there, so, you know, there's no link to it or anything.
Yeah, nobody knows except for 300 million of your closest friends.
But that's a great example of how, because Google searches all kinds of stuff and just goes and finds things, it looks in every crack and crevice of the internet, that kind of stuff is what those hackers are looking for. And so if you do that, that's not a good idea.
So easy. Right. So easy. All right, Adam, thanks. Good to be back good for you to be back after 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're glad you came back after you're being gone for so long, Adam.
Your hiatus there. All right,
have a good
care.
Day, Adam.
All right.
That's Adam the Whizager.
Yep.
Make sure I say that right. Out of Glendale. He's been with us now for, I don't know how long. 3 years?
And we got dibs on him when he becomes of legal age to hire, for anybody out there listening. So don't even think about it.
Yeah, you other computer companies thinking that you're going to latch on to Adam, you just forget about it.
That's right.
Because you know what? What H&R Block can't take care of, cinder blocks can. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to go get some cinder blocks and some caffeine and some refreshments, possibly use the restroom now and again. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls, your questions, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. We'll be back right after this.